Good morning. My name is Destiny, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the quarterly earnings call for Sequel Communications. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I'll now like to turn the call over to the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pete Able. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this discussion of the second quarter 2013 results for Sequel Communications Holdings One, LLC, and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we'd like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report, which is posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our earnings release for the period ended June 30, 2013. Both our earnings release and quarterly report have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the second quarters of 2013 and 2012, and our presenters today will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the second quarter. The pro forma information they discuss today includes the acquisition and contribution of all of the capital stock of Excel Communications on November 15, 2012, and excludes the impact of immaterial asset divestitures in 2012 as if those transactions had been consummated on January 1, 2012. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete, and good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us. We're pleased to report second quarter 2013 financial results that demonstrate our continued success at generating revenue and EBITDA growth. Second quarter 2013 revenue totaled $544 million, which is a 5.6% increase over the same period last year. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA, excluding non-recurring expenses, was approximately $211.6 million, a 6.8% increase over the year-ago period. Free cash flow was $44.2 million, which was up 31.8% over the year-ago period. Compared to the first 6 months of 2012, our year-to-date revenue increased 6%, adjusted EBITDA increased 8.1%, and free cash flow increased 84.3%. Now, the growth in free cash flow is consistent with our comments on previous calls. We indicated that with the conclusion of Project Imagine in late 2012, we fully expected our generation of free cash flow to accelerate. In addition, as of June 30th, revenue generating units, or RGUs, totaled approximately 3.54 million, an increase of more than 63,000 units in the trailing 12 months, representing 1.8% annual growth. Including commercial high-speed internet and phone customers, RGUs increased more than 74,000 units, or 2.1%, over the prior year. Now, the second quarter is very seasonal for us, due in part to the migration of students out of the college towns we serve and the movement of seasonal Arizona customers. However, this quarter, residential basic video, high-speed internet, and phone customers, on a combined basis, decreased by 23,700 units, versus a decrease of 13,600 in the second quarter of 2012. A major contributor to that differential was our strategic decision over the last several quarters to focus on quality customers and the rate or yield from new connects. As a result of that decision, ARPU, or average revenue per unit, in the second quarter of this year was a record $150.93, an increase of 8.7% over the second quarter last year. This growth in ARPU was driven by a number of factors, including rate increases we implemented near the beginning of the year, as well as year-over-year increases in the number of bundled customers, the number of customers ordering advanced digital video services, the sell-in rate for higher-tier internet services, and the percentage of new customers taking our wireless home networking service. In addition, by focusing on yield, we made fewer discounted offers in the second quarter this year than in the same period last year. As a result, our average revenue per connect during the second quarter 2013 was 11% higher than the comparable figure in the same period last year. Furthermore, average revenue per connect in the second quarter this year was higher than average revenue per disconnect, a positive difference we did not enjoy in the second quarter of 2012. Other positive differences between the second quarter this year and the same period last year include reductions in churn and bad debt expense. The net effect of these various year-over-year differences suggests a higher quality mix of subscribers, namely, more customers who are in bundled packages, who are paying their bills in a timely manner, and who are less susceptible to churn. All that being said, while the factors discussed today contributed to strong year-over-year ARPU growth, they discouraged unit growth in the second quarter. And for that reason, we're taking a number of additional steps to strike a better balance between unit and ARPU growth. Near term, these steps include efforts to maximize RGU opportunities among the thousands of students heading back this month to the college and universities in our footprint. A redesign of our website to simplify the online ordering process and help boost online sales. Efforts to drive productivity gains in our door-to-door sales channel, and the deployment of new targeted online and offline bundled offers, which present more compelling introductory prices than we've offered so far this year. To date in the third quarter, these efforts seem to be having the desired effect. Turning back to our second quarter results, we continued to achieve notable success in our commercial lines of business. Total commercial revenue of $73.2 million was up 16.2% year-over-year, including 21.9% year-over-year growth in our commercial high-speed data, carrier, and telephone revenues combined. Even as we continue to achieve strong growth in this area, we still have significant upside given the investments we made, relatively limited CLEC competition, and an estimated $1.1 billion being spent by businesses on communication services in our markets. Our carrier business is performing exceptionally well, with more than 1,000 fiber-to-the-tower tenants in billing as of June 30th, an increase of 88.7% over the number in billing at the end of the second quarter last year. With carriers rolling out high-bandwidth services, we believe fiber-to-the-tower has great potential for additional revenue generation. Tom will provide more details on this subset of our business in his remarks. Our partnership with TiVo, which provides our TV customers with the best-in-class user interface and advanced search and discovery functions, has also yielded benefits. As of June 30th, we had 135,000 total TiVo devices installed, which is a 334% increase in the trailing 12 months. What's more, preliminary data indicate that customers with one or more TiVo units churn less and spend more on programming from our on-demand library. In addition, I want to pay special recognition to Mary Medusky and her great team for a series of successful debt-related transactions during the second quarter. Mary will speak to the details in the remarks, but we estimate the net result of those transactions will save us more than $60 million in annual run rate interest expense, adding to our generation of free cash flow. Finally this morning, I want to note that we expect capital expenditures this year to be approximately $365 million to $375 million, an increase from our previous guidance of $340 to $350 million. This increased guidance is a result of an estimated $15 million of additional success-based capital to meet demand in our commercial business, plus one-time capital expenditures of approximately $8 million to move our corporate offices and data center to larger facilities that will accommodate future growth. While we considered staying in our current corporate headquarters location, in the end, we decided it was in our long-term interest to relocate the building with more capacity. The current guidance of $365 to $375 million also includes approximately $12 million to support increased demand for TiVo devices and approximately $10 million to begin the process of moving our telephone business onto our internal platforms, both of which are items we discussed in our first quarter earnings call. I'll now turn the floor over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on our second quarter operating results. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry, and good morning, everyone. As Jerry noted, at June 30th this year, we had more than 3.53 million revenue-generating units, an increase of 63,100 year over year. On basic video, we ended the second quarter with approximately 1.19 million customers. And on digital video, we ended the quarter with 844,600 customers, up nearly 38,000 units or 4.7% in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers continues to increase. At the end of the second quarter, it was 71%, up from 65.8% a year ago. Along with our annual growth in digital video, with the help of our TiVo HD DVRs, we added nearly 16,000 DVR customers over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 4%. DVR penetration of digital customers stood at 46.5% at the end of the second quarter. And TiVo HD DVR customers now represent nearly 19% of those customers. We also added nearly 6,200 HD customers in the second quarter and more than 100,000 in the past 12 months, representing 19.3% year-over-year growth, bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 73.6%. That's up from 64.6% a year ago. Our sell-in rate of HD to new digital customers is now 88%. Total penetration of advanced digital video services, either DVR or HD customers, stood at 75% of digital customers at the end of the second quarter. This was up from 66.5% at the end of the second quarter of 2012. We finished the second quarter with approximately 1.02 million high-speed internet customers, up 40,600 or 4.2% in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential data penetration of estimated data homes passed was 34.2%, up from 33.3% a year ago. Our high-speed increases in 2012, coupled with continued growth in high bit rate applications, will continue to position us to drive customers to use higher speed services. Today, 76% of our customers have download speeds of 15 megs or faster, and still only 9.3% of our residential internet customers subscribe to our 30 meg or greater services, presenting us with significant upside opportunity. We continue to capitalize on this opportunity as we have created more awareness at the time of sale of our 30 meg and greater service offerings. We've substantially increased our selling rate to new customers for 30 meg plus services from less than 1% in the second quarter of 2012 to nearly 23% in the most recent quarter. A complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home. During the most recent quarter, more than half of our new high-speed internet connects also purchased this service, as we added more than 11,400 Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home customers. In the trailing 12 months, Wi-Fi at Home grew 52% with a net gain of more than 77,000 units, bringing our total customers with this service to nearly 226,000 customers. On telephony, we finished the quarter with approximately 485,700 customers, up approximately 8,200 units during the quarter and 23,000 units or 5% in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential telephony penetration was 19.1% of estimated telephone homes passed. We estimate that we have secured roughly 31% of wireline phone market share in our service area. As of the end of the second quarter, total customer relationships were approximately 1.36 million. We continue to see the trend of lower margin video customer losses being offset in part by non-video higher margin customers. In June, our commercial services group reached a new combined data and phone milestone, crossing over the 80,000 customer mark. Our more than 54,000 commercial internet customers at June 30 were the result of adding approximately 4,700 customers in the trailing 12 months, representing 9.4% growth. Even more impressive, over the same period, we added 6,600 commercial phone customers, ending the second quarter with 27,800, a growth rate of more than 30%. As previously noted, our commercial services customers are not traditionally included in our RGU counts. We also continue to experience record-setting gains in our carrier services group. In June, we exceeded our 1,000th fiber to the tower tenant installation, and our carrier services team set records for new billing revenue added and the number of tenants installed in a single month. These great accomplishments represent thousands of hours of work by many Suddenlink team members throughout our service areas. At June 30, we had successfully completed and initiated billing for 1,023 fiber to the tower tenants, which is up year over year, as Jerry noted, by 88.7%. We have another 535 tower tenants on signed contracts and in the process of being installed, and additional tenant opportunities in varying stages of the sales process. Several of the tenants in the sales process reside on towers that we have already extended fiber to, thus limiting the investment needed to realize the incremental revenue opportunities. I'd like to single out a couple other initiatives briefly before closing. First, our online video service, Suddenlink To Go, is available across our entire footprint, and monthly streams continue to grow. In June, we achieved more than 870,000 streams, some 70,000 higher than the previous month, and up nearly 38% versus the same month last year. We now have more than 40 networks available on Suddenlink To Go as we continue to augment this service with new programming, such as recently added content from FX, A&E, History, and Lifetime. We expect more and more of our video customers to discover the convenience and value of this complimentary service. Early this year, with the relaunch of our AnyRoom DVR services powered by TiVo Mini, a companion device to TiVo HD DVR that provides customers with an even more economical whole-home DVR solution, we are seeing growing interest in this service. As of the end of June, we had already exceeded 31,000 TiVo Minis installed and had 135,000 total TiVo devices installed, counting TiVo Minis, HD DVRs, and TiVo Stream. We continue to promote our We Promise program, launched this year, which emphasizes to our customers our commitment to stand behind the quality of our products, the reliability of our network, and the timeliness of our service. As mentioned before, on the heels of the completion of Project Imagine, we kicked off a new initiative to focus on identifying ways to improve the customer experience through meaningfully reducing the number of times our customers need to contact us. This initiative, known internally as Project Excellence, is one more way we are investing in improving our customer experience. With this initiative still in its early stages, I am pleased to note that during the second quarter, the number of customer contacts handled by customer service agents was down more than 10% from the same period last year, and the number of truck rolls we completed for service calls declined nearly 8% over the same period. We are optimistic these efforts will continue to drive reductions in unnecessary customer contacts. Thank you for your time today. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I'll discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings One and subsidiaries for the second quarter of 2013, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. First, I'd like to discuss several financing transactions we completed during the second quarter. On April 12, 2013, we amended our term loan facility to reduce our interest rate to LIBOR plus 275 basis points with a LIBOR floor of 75 basis points, a reduction of 25 basis points on both the floor and the margin. On April 26, we borrowed an incremental $300 million under our amended term loan facility. Proceeds from this incremental facility plus cash on hand were used on May 16th to call $400 million aggregate principal amount of our 8.625% senior notes due 2017 and pay the applicable call premium of approximately $25.9 million. After that redemption, the aggregate principal amount of the remaining 8.625% senior notes was approximately $712.6 million. Also on May 16th, we issued $750 million aggregate principal amount of 5.125% senior notes due 2021. Then, on June 17th, proceeds from the sale of these notes were used to finance the call of the remaining $712.6 million of 8.625% senior notes, plus the applicable call premium of approximately $46.1 million. These combined transactions are estimated to reduce annual run rate interest expense for the company by approximately $60 million. As of June 30, the face amount of our debt outstanding was approximately $4.7 billion, comprised of $1.5 billion of 6.375% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, $750 million of 5.125% senior notes at Holdings 1, $2.472 billion of senior secured term loans at Sequel Communications LLC, and $12.9 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. At June 30, we had approximately $78.7 million of cash on hand and approximately $483.6 million available under our $500 million revolving credit facility after taking into account $16.4 million of outstanding letters of credit. Our secured bank leverage at June 30, 2013, as calculated under our credit agreement, was 2.93 times, which was in compliance with our bank covenant with significant cushion. Also at June 30th, our total leverage calculated under the indentures governing the 6.375% notes and the 5.125% senior notes was 5.72 times. At June 30, we had no interest rate hedges in place, and the weighted average cost of our debt was 4.67%. The proportion of fixed-rate notional debt was 48%. One additional note, in April 2013, as planned, we distributed $64.6 million to Sequel Corporation, our indirect parent, which was used to pay a deferred transaction fee to our stockholders related to the November 15, 2012 transaction. Now for a few comments on the second quarter financial results, pro forma for acquisitions and divestitures. As mentioned, total second quarter 2013 revenue was $544 million, representing growth of 5.6% or $28.8 million over the second quarter of 2012. ARPU was $150.93, an increase of 8.7% over the second quarter 2012. Our increase in total revenue for the second quarter versus the second quarter of 12 was due largely to an increase in residential high-speed internet, telephone, advanced digital video, and broadcast retransmission revenues, and growth in revenue from our commercial lines of business, including carrier services. Video service revenues increased 1.6% due primarily to video rate increases, higher broadcast retransmission fee revenue, increased franchise fee revenue, and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services, including converter rental revenue from HD and DVR-capable digital converters. Offsetting this growth, in part, were year-over-year basic video customer losses, decreased premium and pay-per-view revenue, and the impact of digital customers on average purchasing fewer digital service tiers. High-speed internet service revenue rose 13.8%, due primarily to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers, growth in home networking revenues, an increase in the percentage of residential customers taking higher speeds of service, the impact of residential rate increases, growth in our commercial high-speed data services to small and medium-sized businesses, and growth in carrier services, including fiber to the tower, optical internet, and transport revenues. Telephone service revenues grew 6.2%, primarily due to an increase in residential telephone customers and growth in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses. Advertising revenues decreased 4.2% due largely to lower national and local political advertising sales, offset in part by increased national and local automotive advertising sales. Revenue overall was negatively impacted by a decline in political advertising sales versus 2012. Excluding the impact of advertising, second quarter revenue would have grown 6.0% over the prior period. Other revenues increased 12.1% due primarily to increased revenues from administrative fees, security service, wire maintenance service, commercial installations, and state recovery cost fees. Our commercial lines of business embedded in the video, high-speed internet, telephone service, and other revenues described above are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed data, commercial telephone, and on- and off-net carrier services. Representing 13.5% of total company revenue in the second quarter of 13, commercial revenues of $73.2 million grew 16.2% versus the second quarter of 12. Commercial high-speed data, carrier services, and telephone revenue grew 21.9% year-over-year on a combined basis. Operating costs and expenses increased 5.9% in the second quarter of 13 versus the second quarter of 12, primarily due to higher programming costs, including broadcast retransmission consent expenses, increased net compensation employee-related costs, marketing, and the impact of certain non-recurring expenses. Consistent with our historical experience and trends seen throughout the industry, our programming costs, including broadcast retransmission consent expenses, on a per-customer basis, are increasing at a high single-digit percentage. Our employee and labor-related costs have increased from the impact of annual merit increases and increased commissions driven by revenue growth, including significant commercial success. Spending on branding initiatives within our markets and incremental direct mail efforts also led to higher marketing expenses as compared to the second quarter of 12. The second quarter of 13 included $3.4 million of non-recurring expenses, primarily associated with the credit facility amendment costs. Second quarter 2012 non-recurring expenses were immaterial. Before the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter of 13 was $211.6 million, an increase of 6.8% compared to the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.9%, a 50 basis point improvement over the second quarter of 12. After the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter of 13 would have been $208.3 million, an increase of 5.1% compared to the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 38.3%. Income from operations for the second quarter 13 was $45.9 million, a decrease of 53.2% compared to $98.1 million for the second quarter of 12. This is the result of increased depreciation and amortization expenses resulting from the asset valuations associated with our November 12 acquisition. Interest expense decreased 8.2% in the second quarter compared to the second quarter of 12 due to a lower average effective interest rate, offset in part by increased indebtedness, as well as changes to debt premium and deferred financing fee amortizations. Net loss for the second quarter of 2013 was $27.2 million compared to net income of $28.6 million for the second quarter of 12. Capital expenditures for the second quarter this year were $94.9 million compared to $95.4 million for the same period in 12. During 2013, we expect capital expenditures to be approximately $365 to $375 million, an increase from our previous guidance of $340 to $350 million. As Jerry noted, the increase from our previously announced guidance is a result primarily of additional success-based capital expenditures to support our commercial and carrier business, primarily fiber-to-the-tower opportunities, and capital expenditures associated with a contemplated move of our corporate offices and data center to a larger facility that will accommodate our future growth. Excluding our previously announced telephone platform migration and other corporate office and our corporate office and data center moves, our 2013 full-year CapEx guidance would be $345 million to $355 million. Free cash flow for the second quarter 2013 was $44.2 million compared to $33.5 million for the same period in 12, a growth of 31.8%. The increase in free cash flow for the second quarter of 13 compared to the same period in 12 is primarily due to improved year-over-year operating results. I'll now conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I'd like to remind everyone that this is a public call, and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and quarterly reports. Operator?
Thank you. And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from the line of Jason Kim with Goldman Sachs.
Great, thanks. A question for Jerry. It's not with the speculation on M&A these days have been involving much larger transaction that we've been seeing in the past. And I also noticed that in your 2Q press release, you also have some non-recurring due diligence costs in your operating expense line. So I'm wondering if the current state of the industry consolidation discussions has any impact on how you view your own M&A strategy in terms of potential size of the transactions?
Well, I think the best thing this management team can do is to focus on our operations and make sure that we take care of our customers and we continue to grow our RGU base and our revenue and cash flow. There is a lot of speculation and talk about consolidation within the industry. I think consolidation definitely makes sense. You see broadcasters consolidating. There are economies of scale, certainly, in programming costs and equipment costs. And so I think consolidation, you'll see it in the industry. We will continue to look at select acquisitions that make strategic sense for us. We'll consider what's in the best interest of our shareholders. But frankly, all the talk and speculation really hasn't changed our core philosophy of operating the business and looking for just those select strategic acquisitions.
Fair enough. You also talked about the difference in the revenue per disconnect versus revenue per new connect. Are you able to quantify what the difference is or give us a general ballpark of that figure? And is it fair to think that the customers that have disconnected are presumably of lower credit quality subscribers on average versus your core base?
What's unusual about, if you think about it, having a revenue per connect higher than revenue per disconnect is the fact that your new customers typically are going to come in with more discounting, more bundled discounts than your customers who are leaving you. And so it is a rather unusual to have a revenue per connect that exceeds disconnect. But just the way we are marketing and selling and pricing our bundles, that we've been able to achieve that result. And it's a magnitude of a number of dollars higher in terms of revenue per connect than disconnect.
Got it. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Pace with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, just a few questions on the cost side of the P&L. I guess, Mary, you mentioned that programming costs were up in the high single digits per subscriber. I'm wondering, is that where you expect that to remain going forward? And can you also remind us, which years over the next few, should we expect to see more heavy retransmission negotiations impact that cost line item?
Hey, Mike. For the last several quarters, our programming expense, including retrans, as per basic customer, has been in the high single digits, moving around plus or minus in that range. And we would expect that to continue, and that's very typical with other industry trends, other MSOs that we know have already reported. This is not a big retrans cycle year for us. We have very few that are coming due at the end of 2013. 2014 is our big retrans year. We have a manageable number of negotiations in front of us through the year end, and this is not a particularly big cycle.
Okay, and then also in Jerry's prepared remarks, there's some focus on some marketing changes. I'm wondering how this may impact your marketing budget for the third quarter and maybe beyond.
Yeah, I really want to see more improvement in our RGU growth than what we've experienced this quarter. And it's less about the marketing spend and more about focus and the bundled offerings to our customers and in how we strategically implement our sales force, including direct sales and people in our retail stores. So I don't see it having a major impact on marketing spend, but more on focus and execution and on our offers.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Elena Davis Hubert with Wells Fargo Securities.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I wanted to just focus on the competitive landscape quickly here. I know most of your overlap is with AT&T, and it seems like, you know, we really haven't seen much movement on this, expanded U-verse initiative, but maybe on Frontier and CenturyLink. Are you seeing any competitive disruption from Frontier's promotional activity? And on CenturyLink, do you have any overlap with Prism TV?
So I'll take that as it relates to you're right on the U-verse front. We have not seen a lot of activity in the few areas where we do have some U-verse video overlap. There has not been really any sort of changes, either marketing or acceleration of any build-out, plant extension, et cetera. As it relates to Frontier, their main overlap with us is in the state of West Virginia. That's the largest state, I believe, for them in terms of their landline operations. They clearly are paying more attention than the previous owner of those landlines. But relative to, you know, we take them on every day in that marketplace, and we look forward to the opportunity of continuing to do that. Our services, video, internet, phone, and security, are on par or in many cases better than certainly their service offerings, and so, you know, we look forward to continuing to compete with them in a healthy and aggressive way. As it relates to CenturyLink, we have 14% overlap, landline overlap with CenturyLink, and in the Rocky Mount areas of North Carolina, they have introduced their Prism services in that area. But like U-verse and others, I don't think there's anything particularly there of note relative to what it is they're doing. Nothing unusual or out of the ordinary. So more business as usual for us from a competitive standpoint.
Okay, that's helpful. And then in some of your more rural areas, do you feel like there's more broadband penetration to come? Are there still, you know, customers that, you know, either don't have broadband or something low speed?
Well, in the rural markets, it's challenging because to get enough capacity and connectivity to the public internet in rural areas can be difficult in the very rural areas.
And for those of you in New York, what you may be thinking of as rural may be different than what we're thinking of as rural. So when Jerry's talking about rural, he's talking about very, very, very small communities measured in the number of thousands in terms of the residences in those communities. So remembering for us, Tyler or Lubbock, et cetera, might be considered rural in some parts of the country. And for us, those are big markets for us.
Yeah, in those type of markets, we still see considerable demand. We'll see continued increases in penetration, and we have a far superior broadband offering than our competitors. So we still see a long runway of growth in those markets. In the very rural markets, where we're literally 500 to 1,000 to 1,500 customers, we still see demand. Our issue is to try to get better capacity to those customers. But that is a small percentage of our overall market.
Understood. Okay. And then if I could ask one question on the phone project, who is the third party phone provider? And as you rotate away from that provider, do you is the plan to go market by market and upgrade that system?
Yes. Sprint is our CLEC partner, and our phone business has been for the last 6+ years. That contract winds down at the end of 2014. As you may know, Sprint historically had other partners as well from the MSO space, Time Warner and Mediacom, to name two. And they are in the process of transitioning off of Sprint as well. So we as we have done in other migration plans, we will systematically, as we stand up our platforms, get our respective CLEC licenses and inter-carrier agreements signed up, we'll systematically, beginning in 2014, begin to migrate customers off of Sprint's platform and onto ours. We are a bit different than some others in that we already operate VoIP phone switches ourselves. We have what's called a two-switch model with Sprint. So we effectively are doing a fair amount of the engineering, provisioning, et cetera, work already and are familiar with that. But we will be augmenting our team, taking on more responsibility, and migrating beginning in 2014.
Okay. And then one question for Mary. The phone expenses, the $50 million is split between OPEX and CAPEX. The operating expense side, are any of those allowed to be added back to EBITDA? Or is that going to be no effect?
Some will not be allowed to be added back, and some will be allowed to be added back. The majority of them will be allowed to be added back because they relate to one-time migration expenses. We would expect, as we've mentioned on our prior call, of the total $50 million that we will spend, roughly half of that will be spent in capital expenditures, and the other half of that will be spent in one-time, non-recurring operating expense centered largely in 2014 and 2015, with a small amount in 2013 as we fulfill the migration effort.
Okay, great. Thanks for the time.
Yep. Sure. Thank you.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, for any further questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this time, we have no further questions.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time and your continued interest in SQL Communications. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. At this time, you may disconnect.